Governor Gerald the Boss Man Show. We got special guests for us, ESPN Tips Analyst, former coach Andre Agassi, Andy Roddick, and Andy Murray. Brad Gribble on the Boss Man Show. BG, how things out there in California, man?
It's nice tonight out in Malibu. Nice to talk to you, Boss Man.
Yes, indeed. BG, come off the U.S. Open, Rafa Nadal gets it done again. The match against Daniil Medvedev, the guy who seemed like he never got tired, BG. That match was amazing. Nadal's up for breaking the third set, and Medvedev just started doing what he does. This becomes a wall, man. That was a great match. What are your thoughts on that match we had at the final of the U.S. Open there?
Well, it two sets to none, 3-2 a break. I was thinking in about 25 minutes, we'll be doing a highlight rip and getting ready for Rafa to come sit, you know, in studio. And then he gave Medvedev a couple of lifelines. You know, he missed the easy volley at 3-2 deuce on his serve, got broken. And then 4-all, I was thinking, okay, here comes the break. He had the overhead. It was about three-quarters court on break point. He missed that overhead in the net. And then from that point on, when he gave him those couple of lifelines, Medvedev started playing as aggressive as I've ever seen him play. And he like was growing in front of our eyes. And I tell you, the massive swing then came early in the fifth. At 0-1 in the fifth, I thought he was a lot stronger physically, considering he was hurting in the second. And then Rafa looked tired. And then Rafa sneaks out of the game at 0-1 fifth. 40, and then breaks him the next game from 40 love. That was just a monster swing, and that seemed to, like, re-give, you know, Rafa, like, that life that, okay, this match is not going to slip away. But I tell you, until literally the umpire said game, set, and match, Nadal, I wasn't sure that like, he was going to put it away.
You got that right, BG. I was sweating watching the match myself. I was sweating because I was like, there's so many twists and turns, so much drama, because Rafa up a double break. You know, he uses – that's our trunk slammer. He wins that set. But against
– I thought it was trunk slammer, 5-2 double break. But you know what's awesome about tennis? And, you know, there's no running out the clock, and that was the epitome of it. Guy breaks back. And then all of a sudden he had a break point at 5-4, and he just – he kept battling literally until the umpire said those four valuable words, game, set, match, Nadal. And to have two finals back-to-back, Wimbledon final was like 457. I think this one was like 452 or something like that. Yeah, I believe it's the longest two slam finals back-to-back ever. I mean, and tension-filled, I mean, what an amazing way to end the year. And, I mean, and Medvedev, everyone thought the guy played too much, and, you know, what a run he had. And just come up a little short, but, I mean, he kind of all of a sudden has put himself in the position that, like, you will not be surprised if he wins next year.
You got that right, BG. I watched the Clay Court season when he beat Djokovic in Monaco there.
Cincinnati.
I saw him beat him. Yeah, he beat him in Monaco. He beat him in Cincinnati. I'm thinking, okay, he's just hot right now. But Medvedev just showed me this guy is really just like a backboard. He's kind of like an aggressive kind of puncher where he sits in the back of the court, uses his forehand, hit that backhand real nice, and he can wear you down. And I never saw Rafa get
he's
that tired.
He's got a combination of, like, if you put Machir and maybe Murray, like, in the blender, maybe then you get Medvedev. Because he can play a lot of matches like he did this summer where he just plays ultra steady. And then occasionally, then you'll get a match like the Djokovic-Cincinnati, then he starts going two first serves. And then it wasn't working when he was down two sets in the final, and then he started playing uber-aggressive. So I like that he's willing to change, and he just makes a lot of balls. He's like one of those guys that, like, you know, is going to be a tricky out because he doesn't beat himself.
And, you know, BG, I told him Paul Jones, my buddy, about this. I feel like he's kind of like a Davidenko Ferrer, but with more firepower. Because he's just like a brick back there. You can't get nothing past the guy. He's lanky and long, and he's the best guy who moves over 6'5". He's the best mover, in my opinion.
Oh, there's no doubt. I mean, he would be, you know, you wouldn't be surprised if he was like a thin 6'6". You know, they list him at 6'7", probably, for sure, in the NBA. And he would be just coming down on the wing and throwing it down with authority. He'd be like a three baller that could jump out of the building. But what's unusual about him is for his style of game, he can serve big. Because a lot of times guys that are steady, you don't think of them, you know, because a lot of times they're not bigger guys that play that style. And I think that's what makes him tricky. And I think the thing that I discovered about him that really threw me, I did 5 matches in a row of him last year at Winston-Salem with Jason Goodall. He was ranked 65. And he comes good and wins the tournament. And I remember me and Jason saying, I'll be shocked if a year from now this guy's not top 10. And we sold him short. Now he's top 5. But I thought, like, he was just missing his toss, like 2-3 feet to the right. And then little did I know, it looks like he intentionally throws it to the right and forward. So it's kind of like, you know, a toss that you wouldn't think that somebody could miss it right and forward and then yet bang it flat. And he's got such long arms that I think that he freezes guys with that ball toss a bit. But his game is very clever because he's got a big serve, then yet he can play, like, very steady and clever.
Now, you're in number one race, BG. I think Rolf is going to play probably Shanghai, Paris, and London, and Joker. We'll see him in Tokyo as well, in Shanghai. So who do you think will get that number one in the number one year of ranking? I think it might be Joker.
Well,
I don't see Rolf
going
that far.
Big, there's a couple of big things. One, you know, how is the Joker's shoulder? Is you know, and I think depending on how much he plays, it will be dependent upon how much Rafa plays. I mean, he's got almost a 1,950-point lead. But I believe that, you know, he's playing Labor Cup this week. Joker's not, so that's another weekend. And he's going to play the Davis Cup final, the Davis Cup that's in Spain. That's like an 8 or 9 day event. So a couple of, like, extra events in there. I think if he played, like, probably, you know, if he didn't go to Asia and then he played Paris and London, that would probably do it. It would be pretty amazing if Rafa could finish the year number one. All three of them will have finished the year-end number one 5 times and 15 the last 16 years. It's like, it's beyond comical to even think that, but they could be looking at, obviously, you know, we'll be one of the two, but it'll be 15 or 16, but it'll be pretty amazing if all three of them have 5 world number one finishes year-end.
Now, BG, Australia's going to green set. How's that court play? So will it be like the cushion they have now, or it be like a little different? Like, I know Bercy plays on green set sometimes as well. So how's that court going to play in Australia in your mind? Would it be in green set now?
You know, until you actually see it, you know, for yourself, obviously, you know, people start tweeting about it a little bit before I get there. But I do think that the sun massively affects the court. You know, when they had rebound ace, it would play slower in the night, especially when the cooler conditions. It's a lot like Palm Springs. All of a sudden, it gets 100 degrees, and then the court gets, more play the second week. It speeds up. And also, the courts in Australia, sometimes the outside courts will play a bit different than the stadium. But my guess is green set will be a bit slower and grainier than what they played on before. So the ball, I think, will scuff up, and I think it will be a bit slower than what it's been in the last five years. That's just a guess, but they also could tell green set that, like, you know what, let's make the court, you know, similar speed than what we've had. Even though it's cushioned, you just put a little less sand in it, and it can be quicker. So that's up to the tournament and the manufacturer.
Now, BG, I saw an article on ESPN.com about U.S. men, why are there more African-American U.S. men playing tennis? I know I played it as a kid at Hanley Park in Nashville when I was with my mother. She'd take me to tennis camp for 2 weeks and play there. So I was exposed to the game at a young age. But how do we get more young African-American men to choose tennis over basketball, football, or baseball? I feel like it's a good sport for us if we actually just play it and learn the game the right way.
Well, it's a great question. I mean, in a simple answer, you can be great in basketball or football and barely ever leave your area code. And you don't need, like, the driving parent or somebody to be able to take you and the money and the economics. And, you know, at 10, you know, a lot of times in tennis, you're going to tournaments, you're traveling. In basketball, you might already be playing on the AAU team. You might be playing, you know, just locally. I mean, so you have a chance to, like, stay locally, become really good, and the investment for the kid is nowhere near what it is in, let's say, tennis or potentially a golf, something like that, an individual sport where you need to go to the, you know, leave your area code all the time. Not to mention, you know, you need, you know, to be practice hours away from organized. You know, like football, basketball, baseball, you know, they're all in the schools. Tennis isn't in the schools. So that's what makes a difference. But what's amazing is there's a lot of African-American girls that are becoming great because a lot of their parents were really good athletes. And you can't even say what sport is second to none to women's tennis. I mean, I believe of the top 10 highest, you know, paid athletes in the world, about 9 of them are women's tennis players. So it's like WNBA, soccer, any of these sports, golf, they're nothing compared to women's tennis, where you could say men's tennis, you know, at the top is pretty amazing, but still, there's soccer, there's football, there's basketball, there's baseball, there's hockey, there's other choices economically that are every bit as good as tennis, and the guys 50 to 150 make way more than they do in tennis.
Exactly. You know, BG, I feel like it's a blessing that, you know, my mother exposed me to tennis because, you know, my dad was all, I wanted him to play football. Mom said he's playing tennis. So I played it until I was in high school. So I feel like if more parents like my mother are around to push their kids to say, let's do something different. Because I feel like if more African-American kids did that, we could really be good at the sport. Like, I feel like it's a great sport. Coco Golf, you know, Sloan, Madison, Serena Venus, of course. You know, you have all these, you see success. And I feel like if you have an example of success, more want to jump into it. Chiafo as well, Donald Young as well, Mal Washington, James Blake, all these guys can really inspire more young men to jump into the game and be good at it. And help us, Americans, have more great talent to win titles again for America.
I mean, right now on the men's side, I mean Chiafo is probably, you know, he's in the mix. I mean, we don't have anybody in my mind. You know, Riley Opelka, I think, is the best hope for the American man, Taylor Fritz. But none of them are at the level of like Anisimova. Kennan. There's a bunch of. Whitney Oswego, who won the French juniors a couple of years ago. There's got to be 7-8 girls. Haley Baptiste, I think, is going to be really good from Washington, D.C. There's quite a few that are, you know, like, could be close. If I had to bet on one on the men's side, you can't coach being 7 feet tall. So
sure,
I kind of like Opelka. I think he can be a better version of Isner.
Yes, he moves way better, and he has better ground strokes. Because I saw him in Atlanta, man. I thought he'll beat the Demon, but he kind of got tired in the third set there. And what upset me, I was watching with Greg Sharko in the 12 Hotel. Y'all were texting each other. It was quite funny. We was watching it, and I was like, it was bad that the crowd did not show up for Riley in the semifinal. It was not pretty. I know it was hot outside, but come on. The big fellas, I do something special. Show up for the guy.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I mean, the one thing is, I mean, Isner's been our top guy, right? And now Opelka, I wouldn't say that they're human highlight reels for fans yet to watch. But still, like, playing in the States, you expect them to get the love. But I do think Opelka can be a top 5 player, and I think that Tiafoe and Fritz can be top 10 players, you know. And then if you get to that level, who knows? I mean, Francis is the best athlete of the three. Riley's got the biggest weapons. Fritz has got the best technique probably, but he's the least athletic of the three.
You got that right, BG. Let's just talk about your Raiders, man. I thought your team was going to win Sunday, BG. They was up 10-0 in the first quarter. I got kind of happy. And then Pat Mahomes went on a run. Like, he went on like a mad run, 28 points in a row, man. So what are your thoughts on your Raiders this year? You know, you got rid of Reggie Mack.
We got to survive this 6 games away. You know, we need to go 3-3. If we go 2-4, 1-5, the season's toast. The coach in me was disheveled by Sunday's game on 2 decisions. You know, and a lot of times, you know, the quarterback play and the coaching is everything in the NFL, and that's why New England is, you know, every year, year in and year out, they have the best coach, they got an amazing quarterback. I mean, Carr made a couple of huge, you know, mistakes. One at the, you know, in the end zone was inexcusable, but two early mistakes from Chucky, I thought, for me, were pitiful. You have a beautiful opening drive, you get fourth down and a half a yard at the 6 yard line, and you send the message to your team, let's go for three. I hated that. Go for the touchdown there off of good drive. Now they score in the next one. It's 10-7. Start the second quarter. Mahomes is just, you know, first play of the second quarter, touchdown. We get the ball, and we get to the 50-yard line, fourth and a half a yard. The hoodie, Bill Belichick, not even thinking about that. Not even thinking in the history of the world, fourth and a half a yard, you're going for it. They punt to the 5 yard line. I even tweeted, okay, here goes 95 yards. About 3-4 plays later, boom, they're down 14-10. So it was like, I was surprised, and I am surprised from Chucky on the coaching, how conservative he is, and he's yet to learn how to run, you know, kind of the no huddle, to do things a little bit faster when he needs to. But yep. I like some of their young personnel. You know, I felt like the over-under on the team was pretty accurate this year, 5.5. So I'm hoping they go 7-9 tight.
I hear that. Now, BG, I know, well, I'll ask you this about, I feel like that, you know, the Antonio Brown situation kind of set them back because, you know, you give up a 3 and a 5 for this guy. You also give up a 3rd for Martavis Bryant. Getting still receivers for Oakland does not work, you know. I feel like that Brown was a bad move, and look what he's doing in New England, all these distractions around him there. So what are your thoughts on that whole situation? He's acting a fool about his helmet, his feet with the frostbite, and how Chucky didn't just let him do what he wants to while he was there.
Listen, obviously they knew what they were getting, and it didn't work out. But Chucky needs to focus. If I'm the owner, I'm going to strip him. You only coach. You gave up a 3 last year for a receiver from Pittsburgh. How did that work out? About 3 or 4 games he played and he was suspended. So you do it again. The situation with Mac last year, you know, killed the car. So I would not let him be involved in any way, shape, or form in decision making. Just coach. See if you can coach. So 2 years in a row right before the season, that hurt. But now his coaching has to be better. And first and foremost, the biggest decision they got going forward to Vegas is Carr the guy?
I don't think he's the guy. I think that Chucky wants somebody else. I think he does.
That's what this whole year should be about. Is he the guy? And if he's not the guy, figure out on who to get the guy. But that, in football, you know, it's a team. It's not like basketball where one guy can make a massive difference. Two guys can make a massive. Football, I mean, you can have a guy like Saquon Barkley be amazing, but your team can still be lousy. You know, so in football, if you're going to have two good positions, it's like have the quarterback, be able to protect the quarterback, and have the coach, and then you're probably right there.
Got there right.
Chase, I mean, you have a good. That's probably the most important three for me is the great quarterback, be able to protect the great quarterback, and have the coach to be able to, you know, do it. And that's like the ultimate in success of what New England's done.
And you see here in Atlanta what we got going on with Matty Ice, Julio, and Dan Quinn. We're in trouble. We should have lost the game on Sunday. We should have lost to the Eagles. We got lucky. You know, all the injuries the EA has. So I feel like the Falcons will be rebuilding next year with firing Dan Quinn as well. So I'm not enthused about football right now because my Falcons aren't very good. But I'm looking forward to battling with the Hawks because I feel like the Hawks are a young, up-and-coming team. And I think the guys in Golden State that we got with Schlenk coming to go for Golden State is really helping us out with our rebuild because I feel like he's been doing a great job.
I think you guys win 40 games this year, 40 to 42 games. I mean, you know, which would be, you know, maybe even 45 games is possible. You know, so I like your youth. I like, God, you got some good young talent. I think you got, 40 to 45 games. I mean, you in the East, 40 would probably get you in the playoffs. 45 would guarantee you in the playoffs. So I kind of like what they're doing. So it basketball is a bit of a progression, except for the Warriors. They went from no progression basically to winning it 5 years, 6 years ago. But I do think Atlanta will be a lot better this year.
BG, do you feel like this is how I feel, honestly? Had Klay not got hurt, Golden State wins that series. I feel like when he got hurt with the ACL injury, that took all the way out of their sales. They can't
be tapped out. In game six, book it. He was going for 55. 50 to 55. They were going to win by double figures. And then game seven is back there. And if Klay is... he's been a killer in game sixes, and if all of a sudden they go for, a big game seven, the Splash Brothers, I mean, they could have won that, I thought for sure. I mean, I thought they were still going to win that game even with Klay going down, but without KD, without Klay, I didn't think they would probably win game seven on the road. Klay is like, he's like my favorite Warrior of all time. He's Mully 2.0. And if he'd have been a tennis player, like, he'd have been, like, the ultimate, like, 6'7", incredible tennis player. I think, with his movement, his disposition, he'd have been a 10-slam guy.
Man, Klay is great. I love seeing his workouts pregame when he comes to play the Hawks. Where I go to Memphis and see him in Memphis and Charlotte. I love watching the Warriors play. It's my favorite.
Go to Kirby's when you go to Memphis.
Oh, I do it every time, man. And get some – and go to my man – B.B. King's or them Bill Street.
Go to Corky's. I'm sad that we don't go back there for the tournament anymore, and then they demolish the club. If I think of Memphis, I think of Corky's.
Yeah. BG?
That might even get me to think about FedExing it.
Do you feel like this, BG, that Russell is just a rental? Do you feel like they're going to keep him when he's a rental?
I can't even come up with an opinion on it until it's like asking me about the surface in Australia until you see it. So, like, how can you come up with an opinion until the three of them are on the floor together, until they've played a sample size of, like, until they play 50 games together? So no matter what they do next year, Klay won't be a full strength. So I think it's the following season to see how the three of them play together. Too small?
And I think this,
because I think they can easily switch Klay to a small forward, but you can't form an opinion until you see it, and then all of a sudden you can't say it's 10 games. It's got to be 50 games to see. Okay, this thing has potential, or no, let's pull the plug on it. So I would say it's got to be the 2021 season. Halfway into that season, and all of a sudden you go, uh-oh, this isn't working. Let's move on from this situation.
Something
tells me Kerr will be able to figure it out, but I think you need 50 games and a super healthy Klay to figure that out.
I'll tell some guys, the Warriors are in the playoffs next year. They're going to be scary. If Klay comes back around late March and they're not the 6th, 6th, or 7th seed.
He'll be back before that. He'll be back in February. By end of March, he'll be full strength. They'll win 50-ish games. We'll go from there.
I think
that's my guy.
Now
I gotta go get some. I'm going to the Lobster House tonight. I'm gonna go get some lobster, a couple of beers. I'll be ready to rock.
Yes, indeed. But BG, thank you for your time, brother. I hope to see you real soon, man. Hope you come back to Atlanta next year, man.
Go to where you got to go in the ATL. Go to Umi Sushi.
Okay, I'll do that.
Umi Sushi. Off the charts, and go to Buckhead Diner. Those are my two top choices in the ATL.
I will do that for you, BG. Thank you so much, buddy. Hey, have a great night. Talk to you real soon, buddy.
Yeah, see you later, buddy.
All right. It's Brad Gilbert on the Boss Man Show.
For all your photo, video, and voiceover needs, check out the fine folks at Blu-ray Productions. They will take good care of you. If you don't believe me, you can see for yourself. Check out their work at blueberryproductions.tv, the Facebook page, Blueberry Productions, also a Vimeo page, a YouTube page, and it's Blueberry, BLUBERRY, prod on Twitter. Check them out today. Blueberry Productions, great people, great work, great service.
Hey there, your yard took a real beating this summer. Luckily, Scott's Turf Builder Winter Guard has your back. Just feed your grass with Scott's again this fall when the air is cool and the soil is warm. It's the perfect time to give your lawn a boost. If you do, Winter Guard will give your yard the nourishment it needs to help weak, thin grass recover and support root growth, giving you a greener, more resilient lawn both now and next spring. Guaranteed. Grab a bag of Scott's Turf Builder Winter Guard today. You'll be back to barbecuing in no time. This is a Scott's Yard.
Hey parents, we all try to be extra careful with our children in the car, but then we get an important call or text. Remember, our children are watching. Make every drive a good example. Be in the zone. Turn off your phone. Visit childrenshospital.vanderbilt.org/BITZ to learn more about our Teen Driver Safety Program. Brought to you by Monroe Carroll Jr. Children's Hospital at Vanderbilt, the Ford Motor Company Fund, and the Allstate Foundation.
Hello, my name is Travis Williams, President and CEO of Academics and Athletic Consulting, focusing on educating and empowering tomorrow's collegiate athletic leaders. My passion is for the education and genuine concern and care for today's student athlete. It's the centerpiece of my life's work. A college education, both in and out of the classroom, is a truly rewarding benefit. For more information on AAC, you can go to www.academicsandathleticsconsulting.com. Once again, www.academicsandathleticsconsulting.com. Or you can follow me on Facebook at Academics and Athletic Consulting, or Twitter at Coach TWill24, or Instagram Travis L. Williams 24. Or you can call me at 404-542-607. Once again, AAC is very proud to partner with J.R. McHenry of the Boss Man Radio Show, covering sports and entertainment across the country. Please tune in weekly for informative, entertaining, and expert analysis on today's sports and entertainment topics. Thank you.
All right, folks, time bad takes. Boston J. Monique, we're back at it. And I'm going to turn over to Jay to give you her bad takes of the week. So, Jay, it's on you. Talk to us about these pathetic people and their takes.
A woman managed to start a fire in her apartment by burning love letters. Police say that a woman used a butane torch to burn the letters and left some of them on the floor. She went to another room to take a nap, and then police say that she awoke a short time later to find the carpet on fire. The firefighters were able to extinguish the fire within minutes, and they say that the fire caused an estimated $4,000 in damage to the building. And she was cited for negligent burning.
Wow. So, you use a torch to burn love letters. How about you do this? It's more safer. Go to Staples, or Office Depot, or Office Max, and get you a shredder. And shred them.
Yeah.
Because if you're that upset, shred them. Because, you know, we all know the people go landfill hunting. You might not want your name on it or personal business letter. Do that. Now, Jay, I'm going to tell y'all something that's so petty about me. When I write a female letter, I don't put my name on it. I just type what I got to say. I don't put my actual name on the letter, so you can't pin it to me. Like, I'm going to address you. I'm not going to address it with my name on it. So, that's why my name ain't out there. But maybe it's pertinent information on it that you want to be seen, so you want to burn it. But, I mean, if it's that mad, get you a micro-cut shredder and have
exactly.
It shredded so you don't burn your apartment to smithereens. And now you have been cited, and now you get kicked out of your apartment complex. Then you owe them money. That's rent restraints out the wazoo. Now you can't rent anywhere going forward now. So now you're on the bad renters list. So you screwed yourself. So by being stupid and overly emotional, if you ask me.
I agree. I think she was having a waiting to exhale moment, because it says here that she was burning love letters from her ex in her bedroom. I didn't even know people were still, like, handwriting letters anymore. I'm not bashing it by any means. I didn't know people were actually like handwriting letters anymore. I just thought people just either sent messages or sent emails.
I don't understand it. It's like, you better do something, lady. Like, I mean, this is my thing. If you're that mad. Like, if you burn in something, why are you leaving the room? Especially if you're in an apartment complex.
Exactly.
Not that you should be burning in anyway, but why are you doing it in an apartment complex room? Why are you leave the room and torch everything? So, I'm going to go on a limb and say this couldn't afford it. But her emotions got the better of her. And she failed herself. So.
Yep.
That's what we gotta deal with there. So, what do we got for story number two?
A Florida couple attempted to have sex on a cop car. That I have no idea. The couple was arrested for DUI. And then after that, they started trying to go to town in the backseat of a cop car. It says here that Nassau County Sheriff's Deputy Mark Hunter pulled over two bicyclists who were riding around without their lights on and almost got hit by a vehicle. Mm-hmm. The officer said that both suspects smelled of alcohol and had bloodshot, watery eyes and slurred speech. Hunter said that after Thomas, which was the boyfriend, he had failed some field sobriety tests and declined to do the others, and the girlfriend also declined to take the test. And even though they were handcuffed in the back of the police car, they apparently didn't let that stop them from doing what they wanted to do. They took their clothes off and started to have sex. When the officer opened up the door, he was naked, and the girlfriend had her pants down where her box area was visible. And he also observed that her bra was halfway off and her breasts were fully visible. So, they were charged, in addition to their DUI, they were charged with exposing sex organs, committing an unnatural and lascivious act, and resisting without violence.
Okay. You're in a car, so how is that illegal? That's just a question I have. Like, you're not publicly naked, you're inside of a vehicle. So I don't quite get that extra charge to win there. I don't get that charge. So they on actual, like, old school kid bikes, like, actual, like, cycle bikes.
Like, cycle bike, like, riding bicycles, like the pedal ones.
So you can get a DUI for riding, like, an old school pedal bike?
In Florida, yes.
I had no clue.
Mm-hmm. You could be riding down the street in a regular, old-fashioned pedal bike. And still get charged with a DUI. Because they still consider that to be a moving vehicle. Why, I don't know. But they still consider that a moving vehicle.
Because I would think if you have a licensed vehicle to be charged with DUI, not a, like, a actual...
Right, because a bicycle is something that even a kid can get on a bike. You know what I mean? You just buy it from any store that sells them.
So... I'm not quite getting that charge. I just don't understand the law on that one. But my other question is, if you're handcuffed, right, hands behind your back supposedly, how do you get your clothes off?
That's a good question. How did they even do that?
Are they using their mouths to do this?
They probably did. They probably used their teeth to, like, help get certain articles of clothing off.
Because... my thoughts are is this, if you're behind your hands on your back, I don't see how you can even, it had to be the mouth.
Mm-hmm.
It had to be, because, I mean, if your hands are behind your back, you can't really, in the back of a cop car is very tight, from what I see, you know, so... I don't ever see they use 8 miles. That's the only thing I can go with, really. on a bike, you're drunk as hell, you still want to get in, you go through the back of a cop car, man, at that point, I guess go for it, I guess, at that point, you know,
right,
like, you're already screwed, and how do you plead down out of those charges, like, how do you plead down from that?
Especially when they were actually caught in the act.
Yeah, I'm talking about how do you plead down? Because that's all I do my wife when people get arrested for certain things. How do you plead yourself out of this? Because you can't plead not guilty. Because you're guilty as hell. So you can't plead not guilty. So how do you go about this in such a way that you can actually, you know, get out of this? That part I can't quite see. Don't know. But that is Florida for you. Now, this is going to throw you off. A Florida man used an alligator as a human shield off bullets while he played with his Johnson. How you do all that same
thing? Who does that?
So he's using the alligator as a shield, ward off bullets as he's playing with his Johnson. That's a lot going on.
Yeah, that's too much going on with that. Like, first of all, the gator, number one, it's like, why are you even handling a gator to begin with? They are dangerous. Then you use the gator to shield you from bullets, of all things, while you're in the act of playing with yourself. Like, that doesn't even make sense. I don't understand these people, why they pick the weirdest locations and the weirdest times to decide to just fire off.
I'm not understanding either. Like, you know, I'm a man who does not masturbate, first and foremost. I don't know. I don't even know what that's about, right? I don't want to touch it myself. That's just me. So, I don't understand. First of all, you're getting shot at by some people who you try to rob. You got a gator as a shield in your left hand, and you're stroking yourself off with your right hand. That's too much going on in one setting.
Way too much.
You know, I'm not quite picking up on what's going on. Home state right now. I don't get this epidemic. I don't get it. And I don't get this either. A Florida man tried to sell his baby at the pawn shop. What in the
world? Wow, really?
Yes.
Okay, I've heard it all.
Like,
homeboy tried to sell his baby at the pawn shop. It doesn't work that way. Like, what did he expect that the pawn shop was really going to do with this baby? Like, right? Like, put the baby on the shelf or something and put a price tag on it? It doesn't work that way. If he didn't want the baby, he could have went through an adoption agency, like legal channels. Wow.
Man, we sell babies at pawn shops now. Like, I'm not quite getting this.
I don't get it at all. This is the first time I've ever heard of somebody trying to sell a baby at a pawn shop.
Baby.
That's crazy.
In a pawn shop. I'm like, dog, really? That's what we're doing?
That's what he was doing.
And this is the last one we'll cover this segment, but oh, God, it's disappointing. Florida OBGYN was arrested firing off his fluid on a patient in lieu of using the ultrasound cream.
Wow. That's messed up.
So he covered our eyes and said, we're out of the ultrasound. We have another kind of lotion for you. But the woman, it said if she heard a she says unnatural noises coming from the OBGYN, and she felt a warm sensation on her bump that wasn't normal.
Wow. You mean tell me that this guy was turned on by an ultrasound?
Well, his patient's belly, obviously, because he fired off his fluid on her belly in lieu of using ultrasound.
Poor thing. And when I said poor thing, I meant the woman, not him.
What a sick man.
He is very sick. That's probably why he chose that profession to begin with, that pervert. It makes you wonder how many times he's actually done that before he was actually caught and reported.
Tells me he has a hard pack when he's rubbing up his belly. He has a hard pack going on, and what tells me that he's turned on when he's rubbing his bellies up, which is sick. But
yeah, it is.
I don't know what you get out of a pregnant belly. I don't know what you get out of that. I can't quite put two and two together. What do you get from a pregnant belly? I'm not quite there yet. I don't know what you get out of that. I don't get it. So, but folks, that's segment one. Bad Takes, Boss Man Show. Check us out, BossManShow.com.
Hip hop fans, I got a great album for you. The debut album from Family Grind ENT, True Speech and 313 Fresh. We're going to give you 2 discs, 33 songs of pure, genuine hip hop. Albums available on iTunes, Amazon, Google Play, IllStreetRex.com, and streaming live right now on Rhapsody, Beats Music, Spotify, Xbox Music, Slacker Radio, and SoundCloud. Check them out today. True Speech and 313 Fresh, Family Grind, ENT. Believe in it, get it.
A gorgeous tan from Suntan City gives you an inner glow that relights the fire when you run into your first crush. Vicky, who is that? An old boyfriend. Lucky you just tanned at Suntan City. Lucky he's single. We're doing lunch tomorrow. Won't be single for long then.
During Tour of the City, try all 5 tans, including spray tan, for just $4.99. Restrictions may apply. Click to buy now.
When you're a teen, you finally get to make some of your own decisions. Who are you going to hang out with? What do you want to be? Are you going to glance at that text while driving? Remember, a split second is all it takes for something tragic to happen. Be in the zone. Turn off your phone. Visit childrenshospital.vanderbilt.org/BITZ to learn more about our Teen Driver Safety Program. Brought to you by Monroe Carroll Jr. Children's Hospital at Vanderbilt, the Ford Motor Company Fund, and the Allstate Foundation.
It's maybe the night that my dreams might let me know. All the stars are closer. All the stars are closer.
Tell me what you gonna do to me. Confrontation ain't nothing new to me. You could bring a bullet, bring a sword, bring a morgue, but you can't bring the truth to me.
Alexa, play Kendrick Lamar and SZA.
Okay.
Maybe the night that my dreams might let me know. All the stars are closer.
With Amazon Music, a voice is all you need. Get tens of millions of songs. Download the Amazon Music app today.
Yeah, yeah, it's your man JC, the host with the most, baby, and it goes down each and every Saturday night right here in the city of Memphis. That's right, y'all. It goes down at Clicks Sports Bar Memphis, baby. 3705 Malco Way, Memphis, Tennessee, 38125. Come out and join us, the Three Kings, each and every Saturday night for the livest karaoke in the city. Everybody gets in free till 10 p.m., only $5 after. Great food. We got drink specials. We got all kind of games, man. We got the pool tables popping. Whatever you want, we got you, man. Come on out. Have a good time with us each and every Saturday night. That's Clicks Sports Bar, Memphis.
All right, fellas, Battle Boss Man Show. Time for the Boss Report. Jay, are you ready for the Boss Report? Because I know that when we did it was real crazy then. It's getting crazier now. So are you ready for it, Jay?
I stay ready.
All right. She stays ready, folks. So you've been waiting on it. It's time for it. It's here. It's the Boss Report. First story, Jay, is this. Florida man arrested for shooting up the Walgreens pharmacy because it took them, get this, 7 days. Get his prescription filled for penicillin to stand by his STD.
Wow. Well, I'm not going to lie. That was pretty jacked up for Walgreens to take so long to get him his medication. But at the same time, homeboy went way too far with that.
He injured 7 pharmacy employees.
That's crazy. Yeah, all that was so unnecessary. Over prescription. Not saying he didn't need it, but, you know, at the same time, it's like, no. A gun wasn't necessary.
I know penicillin still works for STDs. I thought penicillin was kind of, that virus is going to got immune to that now.
I wouldn't know.
I thought it still worked, but, you know, homeboy for doing too much is already. We got this. Also in Florida. Florida man rock bottoms gas station patron for looking at his woman for too long.
One homeboy knocked the other homeboy out for looking at his woman.
Him with the rock bottom at the gas pump.
Dang.
Like, see.
He's going too far, too, because it's like at the end of the day, it's not like the guy actually was actively trying to flirt with his woman or disrespecting him. Like, okay, if he's just checking her out, okay, be glad that you have a woman that's attractive to where other men are looking at her.
Exactly. So your homeboy was too far in the Florida gas station doing too much. Oh, we got this. Cough up the coins. Kevin Hart sued for $60 million by sex tape side chick for allegedly clout chasing her with conspiracy threats.
What?
Yeah.
Why would Kevin Hart be clout chasing her? Kevin Hart already has clout. And why does the side chick think she deserves $60 million? For what?
Yeah, taking Johnson does not equal $60 million. I'm sorry.
It really doesn't.
It don't cost that much taking Johnson. I'm sorry.
Like, oh, she got some nerve.
Yeah. You're very, very, very. And we got this. You're nasty, Your Honor. Judge admits to breaking into neighbor's home to perverly pilfer to smell her dirty drawers. He wants to, quote, dig in that box.
That's what the judge did to his neighbor?
Yes.
Judges are getting down like that now?
His quote was he wanted to, quote, dig in that box.
Wow, yeah, he is nasty.
What a horrible quote, first of all. I want to quote, dig in that box. It's a terrible quote.
Yeah, that is a horrible quote. And he's a horrible judge, and he's nasty.
Exactly.
Nasty.
Take his license or whatever they have for judge. I don't have licenses. Whatever they do for judge, take it away from his ass, please.
Yeah, take him off the bench.
Jesus. Oh, God, this is even worse. Dad's boy for life. Diddy, Lori Harvey, and Justin Combs, her ex-boyfriend, all went to Bay City in Atlanta together. So why go to strip club in Atlanta with your son and his ex, who you're dating, his ex-girlfriend, who's so nasty?
Yeah, that's awkward. This is weird.
Yeah. I'm sorry. I can't.
Yeah, I don't get it. But yeah, some people have put themselves in weird situations.
Very weird. Racist story. Waiting the entire F. Texas school says black boy looks are against the dress code, right? Cut it or wear a dress and tell people you're a girl.
What?
Yes.
You can't tell somebody they can't wear, they talk about the dreadlocks, right?
Yes.
You can't tell somebody they can't wear dreads. Oh, they nasty. They was just being nasty and foul.
Mm-hmm.
If somebody has dreads, they have every right to wear their dreads. That's their hair.
Exactly. Like, what's wrong with you? Yeah, it's terrible.
And they personally don't like it. Okay, that's their own issue. But you can't enforce this as a rule that kids can't have dreads.
or they have to cut it off, or they have to wear a dress.
Terrible.
Wow.
We got this. Alexis Sky had a $110,000 Maserati robbed at a Quick Trip gas station in Southwest Atlanta.
How'd her car get robbed that quick at a gas station? She didn't lock her doors?
I guess not.
Mm-hmm.
But I would not be riding a Maserati since I was landing. It's just not smart. Become a target at that point.
Yeah, I mean, if you drive around in any area in a Maserati that's not like the upscale, wealthy area, that type of car is a target.
So, yeah, that's messed up for Alexis Sky. We got this old baby, he likes it raw. YDB thinks Dazina is the perfect candidate to, quote, date and impregnate. How take is that? I want to
date. Who is Dazina?
Some model. And this YDB guy wants to, quote, she's a candidate to, quote, date and impregnate. God, take his
that. Yeah, that's stupid. Just because somebody looks good, he wants to. That's cool if you want to date her, but he want to impregnate her too? You don't know her like that.
Yes, that is a terrible take. Got this one. Donk disqualification. Biracial high school swimmer stripped of her win because, quote, immodest swimsuit exposed her championship cakes. So because her suit didn't cover all of her dog, per se, they could disqualify her and give her the win.
They were just looking for any reason to mess with her. That's all that is. That's my opinion.
Me too.
They were looking for any reason to mess with her to give it to somebody else.
Yeah. That's pretty terrible. Once again, racism as finest right there. As finest, we got this. Fade served. McDonald's employee choked and two-pieced a customer mad about cold fries.
So the employee choked the customer because the customer was mad about the cold fries?
Yes.
How are you going to attack the customer because they complained about actual cold fries? If I just paid for fries, I don't want them cold. They don't taste good when they're cold.
Exactly.
Are you serious right now?
Very. Very serious.
All he had to do, literally, he or she had to do was just simply throw out those fries and just get them a batch of hot fries. Simple as that. And give it to them.
That's too much like right, though.
Huh?
It's too much like right, though. He had to fade on. He had to put the fade on.
Yep. He must have been having a real bad day to get that mad over the customer complaining about cold fries.
I mean, he's probably mad he's a fast food worker. You know, they have a lot of bad days. Fast food, working at fast food is like the last resort for people, I think.
It literally is, unless they're a teenager, because sometimes, you know, they're, you know, teenager, they just have it as a little part-time job so they can get some little side money, you know, stuff like that. But when grown people work there, that's more of like a last resort, because I don't think anybody wakes up like, hey, I want to work in fast food.
Yeah, it's not like, yes, it's a dream of mine to be a McDonald's fry boy. It's not somebody's dream. So I think my man was really angry. Tipped out on the cusp, had a bad day. It was like that. You know how sometimes it was like the one complaint too many, and he snapped.
Yep, he snapped. That's what that was.
It's so pathetic and terrible. We got this story here. Florida man returns to old job and beats the hell out of a Caucasian woman who snitched on him and cost him his job.
Dang.
I ain't mad at it, though. Man, you stitches get stitches. I ain't mad at it. I know I shouldn't be agreeing with what he did, but Caucasian women are good about stitching on black men. So,
Yeah, I don't condone what he did. I mean, I don't condone him, like, you know, hitting, you know, a woman of any race, period. But at the same time, it's like, I can understand the frustration because, you know, who wants to... I understand the frustration of going to work and having that one or two people that just snitch on everybody for every little thing. And they're not even managers. So it's like, what are you snitching for? What does that do for you?
Exactly. And when you gotta realize when you snitch, you'll never get a promotion.
They never do.
They don't trust you. They use you for intel.
That's exactly what they're doing. Because at the end of the day, they're not stupid. They're not going to put that person in a management position with confidential company information. And then what? As soon as that person, that employee gets mad, they start snitching on the company too?
Yep, like, I'm telling you, these snitches do not realize they're effing themselves all the time. So I don't agree with what homeboy Duncan only did, but I get it. That Caucasian woman's dirty, because I've had it happen to me. When I get stitched on, I always buy Caucasian women. I'm serious, even for me personally. Like, I fear a Caucasian woman rather than a Caucasian man. I fear the women.
Yeah?
I know I can't win with them. Me versus them, I lose. Every time. With a Caucasian man, I have a chance. But with a woman, time. So, Jay's getting his boss report right here. What is your take on this boss report we just ran through here?
Oh, well, definitely. I was definitely mind-boggled about that fast food employee that sat up there and beat the hell out of a customer for complaining about cold fries. That one definitely stuck out to me a lot.
Exactly. That same here. I can't get past that myself. So, yeah, that's the story of this report. So, folks, check out this boss report, more boss reports, at BossManShow.com. Stick stay with us for more Boss Man Show coming up for you. Always, everywhere, searching Boss Man Show 24/7, 365.
And if you don't know, now you know.